I hope you've enjoyed our series on lasting love. And Ron last week talked about lasting love and God's lasting love to us from now into all eternity. This morning I want to talk about our lasting love, our intentional love, our purposeful love back towards God. I love this Psalm 71, 28. It's become one of my recent favorites. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do. God loves us intentionally and unconditionally. We know God is perfect, but we must be consistent in our intentionality back towards God. We were intentional when we woke up this morning and came to assembly, when we woke up this morning and fired up the computer to watch worship and be a part of worship online. We were and are intentional each Sunday when we get together to do the Lord's Supper, just as Dan Payne led us in a moment ago, to remember God's sacrifice through Christ on our behalf. Are we just as intentional when we wake up Monday morning to go to work or to school in our worship of God, in our praise of Him, in our thinking about Him, and how that changes our life as we walk through our day, each and every day with God? Exodus 33:15. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. I hear my name every day when I come home, late afternoon from work, and I hear, 'Daddy!' And two little girls come running up to me, my 7-year-old and my 2-year-old, and they love me so intentionally. And Julie's like, 'Good, your turn.' And they grab me by the hand, and they're like, 'Daddy, Daddy, come play with us.' I'm like, 'Well, can I put this up and do that?' 'Nope, nope, can't do any of that right now. Take us outside, let's play, let's..." And then those next few hours are intentional towards me, and I'm intentional towards them. We need to have intentionality in the same manner towards God every day. Daddy, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father, I can't do today without you. I need you. Please be my shelter and my guide today, this day, not just the Lord's day, every day. My role in the relationship, to believe, of course. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who, catch this, earnestly seek Him. Earnestly seeking God daily. And that causes us to act on that belief. That action right there, earnestly seeking Him, causes this in James 2. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?" It's no good. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, intentionality, purposefulness, is dead. Recently, last week when I dropped off food to the St. Francis house, the kitchen manager came out and thanked me personally, wanted to pass that thanks on to University City for still being intentional in bringing food to the shelter, because they need organizations and churches and others to do that still, even during the pandemic. We can't go in and serve, as you're well aware, because of COVID, but they still need the food in order to serve it as a staff to those that are homeless. And she goes, "You know, Donnie, you may not know this, but I was homeless at one time." I was like, "I had no idea." And she's now employed, gainfully employed, working 40 hours a week as a kitchen manager. And she said it was a couple of Christians, just like you guys, that believed in me, fed me, clothed me, and gave me purpose, introduced me to Jesus. We can't hope that they find it. We need to give people the hope through Christ to find it. Listen for things the Good Shepherd does for his sheep in Psalm 23. And this will be my base scripture this morning. And how we should esteem God in our life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I think of this picture of my mom. I may or may not have shared this before, but this is back a few months ago. My mom sharing Psalm 23 with the attending nurse. And I told you, my mom's very intentional in evangelism. She always has been, but even more so when she has a captive audience, like a doctor or attending nurse when she's doing chemo. She's like, you know what? I'm going to recite scripture, and you're going to listen. And this is Nurse Marilyn, one of her attending nurses, and she recited Psalm 23 along with my mom, because my mom was there for a few hours, and we're going to go through it until you know it. And she's like, okay. And this is great, because my mom's soul is restored. She may not be doing the best physically, but she's doing great spiritually. And we get to do that for others in seeking God and his provisions in our life daily. David is talking about awareness of God's presence with him. What are some ways in which you are aware of the Lord's constant presence with you restoring your soul? Well, I feel that restoration each morning. Instead of sports talk radio, I'm much more intentional now. I do listen to that still as well, but the first thing I do is listen to the Daily Bible and at least get a chapter in a day on the way to work, and that's helped me a lot. I feel it when our family gets together. We know that the Lord is restoring us every day. As my mom says, we're thankful for every single day that we have together. Don't take for granted the person sitting next to you this morning and the fact that God's given you this day with them. And please know that God is with you daily, that we need his presence. We need to seek that presence in our lives to make a difference in the world today. David said that the Good Shepherd makes me lie down. What kind of rest or restoration does God provide for David as well as us today? Well, this is a moment of rest. My wife was able to capture this picture. This is a rare picture. This is a picture of Addie sleeping on top of Daddy. This is at a water park with chaos going on around us. This is well before COVID. And this is Mackenzie coming up to kiss Addie on the cheek. What a beautiful moment. Is this moment consistent with the moments we have every day in the Dillon household? No way. No way. We have chaos. We have dirty diapers. We have kids yelling. It's craziness. We know, though, that our rest in God is consistent. No matter the chaos that's going on in the world around you, your rest in God, when you earnestly seek him, that peace that he provides you is consistent daily. Amen, church? Listen for why we need not fear the evil around us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it overflows. How can we intentionally enjoy God's presence? Well, we can be intentional knowing that God protects us, of course. It may not always be from physical danger around us. We know that bad things happen to good people. But we know that God's presence is still around us and that he protects us from the enemy, the one that really brings damage to our lives. That just as a staff is held by a shepherd and wards off wolves and predators against the sheep, God defends us from spiritual evils. And God also has a staff that guides the sheep with a hook that draws the sheep in and helps the sheep walk intentionally and purposefully in his presence daily. We need to remember that in our lives. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is part of what Ron addressed last week, that we know we have this everlasting love in God, but we must also be consistent in our love towards God. And I know that we love God, but is it consistent daily and purposeful daily? When I do weddings, I always say, hey, it's not just about the wedding day. It's about building a successful marriage. Not just building a successful wedding, but a successful marriage. And this is Slate and Cheyenne Sullivan. 2 months ago, they moved to Nashville, Tennessee to be closer to the rest of the Sullivan clan. That's all moved up there between there and Atlanta. And they're doing very well. I talk to them weekly. They're doing everything I ask them to do in marriage counseling. They're being very intentional in reading God's word and praying and attending worship, but being in love with each other and being intentional in that love daily. And it's great to see when couples take on what I share with them in counseling and take on what God's calls them to every day of their lives. And we need to be just as intentional as a church towards Christ, as individuals towards God, in our love for him and being purposeful, knowing that God guides us, God protects us, Christ is the head of the church, and we need to love him with an active love, serving him every single day, that it permeates all aspects of our life. What does it mean to you that God's goodness and love pursue you and that you pursue it right back? How much do you love God? Do you love him more than what you own? You don't need to write down these questions. They've already been written down for you by Ron, and they're provided on yellow sheets in the back, or you can take a screenshot of this. Do you love him to trust him with your life? Do you love him when times are difficult? And do you show others his love that he showed you? Because we love God, we talk with him. We thank him. We look out for members of his family. We have each other's back as brothers and sisters. We tell others about him. I was talking with Todd McFarland and Ron McQuinn recently. We're going to have a series, not just for the college students, but for all adult ages, Wednesday night in the gym. We would love for you to attend. And it's all about how to talk to others about Jesus. A purposeful discussion on talking to others and how we can more actively talk to others about Jesus in our lives. Because we love God, we also trust him. We read his word and internalize it. We worship him and sing songs about him. We honor him and we make time for him. Amen, church.
Amen.
At this time, Ron, it's all yours to continue these thoughts.
Donnie and I are doing tag team today. Donnie's done the first part of this greatest command, which was what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. But Jesus doesn't stop at that point. He doesn't say to us that that's enough, but rather he goes on to say there is a second like it, again from Mark chapter 12. He says there's a second part of this that I want to share with you today, and it's a part that you know so well. In fact, those of you who have been Christians for a good long while, it's probably one of the best known parts of the Bible, this idea of a two-prong aspect of loving God. I thought about reading a lot of scripture. I didn't think that that would probably be as impactful as what I've decided to do, and I haven't sought anybody else's input. But I wanted today to try to find a way to connect with you. After all, our theme of connection, not only for last year but this year, but to connect with you about this idea about loving your neighbor as yourself. And as powerful as the scriptures are, I want to put a face to that idea today. And it's actually a face you've already seen a little bit of as Donnie stood up here and shared with you. We see that same face when Scott and his family are here. When we talk about being a neighbor, we're really talking about someone like Sue Dillon. Now, for those of you who might be visiting, Donnie and his brother Scott, their mom is seriously ill. And of course, those of you who are members here know about her ongoing illness. We have been praying for her for a long time now, and we continue to pray that God will bring a full healing. And I didn't know all the words that Donnie was going to share today, but Donnie's already said it. And that is, despite his mother's serious condition, she does not let it stop her from being that good neighbor. In fact, if anything, I think of her as being on both sides of that story. She's not only the one who is in need and whose need is met, but she is the one who is meeting needs, just like the 23rd Psalm and a nurse. I would pray today. Oh, by the way, lest you think this idea that I'm bringing to you this morning, this idea of being a good neighbor, and I'm presenting a person to you, that lest you think that that is not a biblically acceptable idea, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. I'm going to read just one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I hear some pages turning. Maybe you've got your electronic device. I didn't want to put it up on the screen. I wanted you to think about this portion of today's lesson. Donnie, you did an awesome PowerPoint. You covered more than both of us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. What does Paul say to these struggling Christians in the city of Corinth? He says, be imitators of me. No, read carefully. Be imitators of, Paul now says, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Now, brethren, I want you to understand that this idea about being a neighbor, this idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, it begins with the idea that you are living in such a way that you can love yourself. And I mean that in a godly, proper way. But you're not going to love your neighbor if you don't appreciate what God has made you to be. Paul understood his opportunity for influence. He understood the authority that God had given him, not in a boastful way, but in a meaningful, useful way, when he says, you imitate me as I imitate God. And I'm going to take this verse to just say, be imitators of Sue as she imitates Christ. Is that a fair adjustment for our day today? I hope it is. I believe it is. Everything that I know about our sister down in St. Petersburg tells me that she has caught hold of this key idea of living for God. If we can find ways to do that when things are hard, well, let me say it to you this way, and then I'm going to be quiet, because Sue's already said all of it for me. I believe that our sister in St. Petersburg, that's where Sue, Scott, and Donnie's mom lives, I believe she's able to do today what she does when things are hard, because she has been preparing all of her life as a Christian for those difficult days. You can't do good on tough days if you haven't already been practicing being good on the easier days. I'll tell you honestly, I can't really even imagine what it is to have to face cancer. Some of you that are with us here are cancer survivors, and you have a level of empathy that I cannot yet grasp. The same way that I struggled with a wife with dementia for 3.5 years who eventually died, I carry that memory and that experience, which allows me to minister to those that are experiencing similar things. Your own life experiences and how you have chosen to handle them will tell God everything he needs to know about what you think about your neighbors. You have to be a good neighbor before you can treat your neighbors in a good way. And God's call to us today is to love him with all our heart and to give to others with all that he has blessed us with. That is the greatest command. And it's a command that any one of us can fulfill. It's a command that fits not only what we say, but what we do. Gee, it seems to me that Paul said something about that. That everything you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is our task. And I am strengthened every day when I wake up and I think about those in St. Petersburg and those in Lake City and those in Tallahassee and even those like I've got family in the Houston area, went 3 days without electricity. I've got a brother-in-law that lives north of there but also in Texas, went 3 days without electricity. I am thankful that I'm reminded of the blessings that I have, that you can be reminded of the blessings that you have as we prepare to serve God. As Donnie said, there's a little half sheet out there. By the way, the paper company, they refer to this even more carefully than Donnie did. It is kind of an orange. Look for it out there. I'll tell you this as I conclude. It seems to me that Sue has learned what so many of us need to learn, and that is we meet our difficulties not with our fists, but with our faith. That's F-A-I-T-H. And so every day Sue gets up and she faces her circumstances with her faith. I wrote a devotional about that at the end of May last year, and I've made extra copies. I put them out on the counter out in our foyer. I hope you might pick one up. How to Face Life, Face to Faith. It's our challenge for us today, and I invite you to that challenge, that you would be fully prepared, not just for the good days now, but perhaps for the difficult days ahead. And if you've not been including Scott and Donnie and his dad Don and his mom Sue in your prayers, that you would be doing that, and that you would do it every day. Just as we pray for you and invite you to pray for us, let's do that together now as we conclude our lesson. Father, we thank you for your commands, even though we often think of commands as being burdens to carry. This one is so wonderful, that we would love you with all of our being and that we would love others with all that you give us and all that you make us to be. May we be worthy of you as we give your love back to you, just as we've done in song and now in prayer, but that we have opportunity throughout this week to share your love with others. May we treat others as the neighbor we want to be, and may we imitate our dear sister Sue as she imitates your son, and as we give you grace and thanks and praise through him. We all together say, in the name of Jesus, amen. So the lesson is yours. What will you do? Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, your strength and might? And will you imitate those who take his love to others, even in the midst of terrible trials of life? If you will, if you're ready, if you want to do better, and you would like us to be a part of that process, that's why we offer an invitation, that you can know that we are here to support you just as God supports us. Won't you please come as we stand and sing?